This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I'm Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 19th, episode 1895, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
I'm here. I'm barely here.
You had a long weekend.
I had a long weekend. I had 17 people descend on my home on Wednesday. And on Thursday, we had Chad's Finney flight, which is his final flight in the F-16. And then Friday, we had his retirement ceremony. And then we went to the air show as a group. And then we had 150 plus people at my house Friday night. Then we had more family Saturday and Sunday, and then some people that missed the party on Friday night came by last night. It's like, oh my God, I gotta go to bed, you guys. I gotta get up early.
This reminds you of your, like, old radio days.
Yeah, I was like, I don't mean to be rude, but I have to go to bed now.
But I have to go to work tomorrow.
Some of us, Chad, have to work on Monday, but some of us don't.
I want to hear all about it. I'm going to ask you all about it. And I don't care if it doesn't involve a horse. Anybody that's not interested can go away, because I got to hear all about it, because this is like ultimate guy time here.
You should talk to him. I'll see if he can go on the dude.
Yeah,
show.
We're going to be recording Horse Husbands this week, and we'd love to have him come on. That would be great. We could just talk the whole show to him.
Never mind. You can't have him. I don't want to hear it.
So thank you for joining us, everybody. We really appreciate it. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, following the previously referred to fast-paced but thorough review of our co-host's weekend adventures, we're going to chat with Christy Schulte Cappert about the Right Horse Initiative and how they are changing the face of adoptable horses everywhere. And then Equestrian First World Problems takes it real look at real horse people. And the Wacky World of Horse Station puts our laugh muscles through a workout. So stay tuned for the fray, folks. And now I'm going to go catch the frog that's under my desk. I'll be right back.
We keep having these little green frogs get into the house. So did you notice the episode number? 1895.
Starting to sound like years.
We're going to be at 2000 in another 100 days. And I think for episode 2000, which, by the way, there's probably maybe 100 podcasts in the world that have hit 2,000 episodes. We need to do something special on that. We're going to have to start planning that. We need to do something special. And I think it's going to have to involve us being together for that somewhere, in a beach somewhere.
Now I'm like, I'm not getting on a boat, Glenn.
No, but I was thinking, we could celebrate our 2,000th episode without the listeners on a beach, enjoying a martini, something like that. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and we'll just, like, from our beach chair, hold a microphone and be like, hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all, we're here. Where are you?
How's it going? Let me see. 3, 6, 9. Okay, so that's, like, in June. So,
yeah, well,
I think that's the perfect time to go to the ocean.
I do, too. So we'll have to get that figured out, but we're going to have to do something special on 2000, that's for sure. I have a slew of Daily Winnies, but I'm going to only play it once.
Happy birthday to you.
Well, happy birthday to auditors Tara Tibbetts and Michelle Atkins. It's their birthday today. Happy birthday to the both of you. And I have to give a daily whinny out to my pony Scooter, who was an absolute rock star yesterday. We took the new horse trailer and we went out to Inglis Island, which is my favorite place to go driving, and Nigel and Scooter. And I got to tell you, my little naughty boy is growing up. He was an adult all day. Nigel was a bouncy nutcase at the beginning, but Scooter was great. He was an adult all day. He didn't make one wrong step. He didn't bolt. He didn't jig. He just was, and he was energetic and just seemed to have a good time. I was so impressed with him yesterday. He's come a long way.
That's great. You forget, too, like when you were complaining about him getting tired halfway, you just wouldn't go home. You forget, like, horses have a level of fitness that they have to work through, and you're obviously doing it right.
And he's not fit now. That's not true. What it is it's cooler right now. It was really cool yesterday. And I think when it gets really hot, you know, they just, especially in Florida. So he was really cool. He's definitely not fit, but he was feeling his oats yesterday, and he thought he should be in front of Nigel at times, which Nigel didn't take kindly to. But it was.
You're welcome for trying to compliment you, by the way.
I know. Well, I appreciate that, but I wish it was true. It's actually the first time I've driven because of my shoulder in a while. So, but it was a fun day, and he's just come such a long way, and he's turning into a little man. He's growing up. So I'm proud of Scooter, the little rescue pony.
What you say about, like I say about my son. Like, oh my God, he's like a little man now.
Yep. He's growing up.
Now, mind you, Glenn does not stand at the tooth end of the pony when the pony gets harnessed. So he does still have some growing up to do. He still has some child in him. Yeah.
A little bit, the tooth end. Yeah. Well, see, I don't have
harnessed.
To stand there when Jennifer gets that end when we're harnessing.
What does he bite when you put the harness on?
Oh, yeah. He's just
getting ready and raring to go. And Jennifer's in the way. So I'm glad that she takes that punishment. Also, by the way, if we go off air this morning, we're getting some storms, so we'll just mention that. Also, I got to give a... You remember Chrissy Joy, who's been on our show a couple times, a good friend of ours, who's a horse girl and also a dog trainer. She became a dog trainer when she couldn't have a horse for a while. And, well, she's kind of serious about that now because her and her dog Beasley yesterday won the National Trick Dog Championship.
Wow.
She is Beasley. I know. And she is the at Purina. They were at the Purina Farms where they do that. And so she is like the number one trick dog in the country, her dog Beasley. So
what is Beasley? Is Beasley a border collie?
No, Beasley came from a pound. And he what kind is he, Jennifer? I don't even know. Heinz 57, I think.
I have no idea. He's generically brown and white and adorable.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just a Heinz 57, and she got him from the pound. He's a rescue, and she turned him into the national trick dog champion. So we're very proud of her and very proud of Beasley and good. He has a Facebook page called Good Beasley. And you can follow him on Facebook there, but he's now a champion. Got a big ass ribbon too. And a trophy. So, congratulations to them. All right, your turn. Sorry about 12 daily winnies there.
So, you guys know that I used to live in Atlanta, Georgia. That's where I've lived mainly the first like 30 years of my life were spent in mostly Atlanta. And I grew up with a thoroughbred. I had an off-the-track thoroughbred, and I boarded him at a local boarding stable in a little town called Decatur, Georgia. And the farm that I boarded at, and the first lessons I ever took were dressage lessons at this place in Decatur, and it's called Little Creek Horse Farm. Well, I don't know. It's like Zeus was channeled at Little Creek Horse Farm in the wee early hours on Saturday morning. Because, Glenn, do you have that? Can you play the audio from that video I sent you?
Let me see here. I'll try. I'm actually not hearing any audio on it. Hold on.
Oh, it's on mute, Glenn. The video's on mute. Well, nope. No sound.
There's no sound.
Okay, well, that's okay, because yeah. I'll do the sound.
Okay.
The sound is of clip-clop, clip-clop, as horses,
lots of horses,
about 12 of them, are trotting down the freeway.
Is this right in Atlanta?
In Atlanta. So what happened is in Decatur, Georgia is like on the east side of Atlanta, and there's a freeway that goes straight east, and there's also a freeway called 285 that circles the entire city. So these horses at Little Creek Farm, there was somebody who's in big trouble today, left a gate open. And the horses, I feel like there should be more than one way for the horses to escape at this place because it is in the city. Somebody left a gate open and all the geldings from the paddock decided to go for a jog. And they ran up out and got onto Highway 78, heading for, they say, Stone Mountain. Okay, so that's east of the city. And it's quite east of the city. And so they've actually, like, kind of went under the bridge of 285. Thank God they didn't exit onto 285, which would be a nightmare. So I wanted to give you, as a former traffic reporter in the city of Atlanta, I have seen all sorts of crazy stuff. Overturned chicken trucks, you know, pieces of furniture in the roadways, washers, dryers, mattresses, things like that. I've seen those in the roadway. I've seen all sorts of stuff as a traffic reporter. I mean, the threat of snow halting a city, the things like that. But never did I ever do a traffic report where horses were on the freeway. Well, so I wanted to take this opportunity.
All right, let me set it up for you.
That's right. I'm Jamie Jennings reporting live from the Triple Chopper Traffic Center.
From Horse Tip Daily. And what? I'm here.
Oh, geez. Sorry.
She just totally stole my mojo. Way to go, Glenn.
All right. Let's take two. Oh, that was my fault. I'm sorry. That was my bad. Okay. Here we go.
That's right. I'm Jamie Jennings coming at you live from the Horse Radio Network studios up in the Chopper high atop Atlanta. And we have a traffic nightmare going on right now. If you're heading on 285, you're going to be seeing some backup making your way towards 78 because, yes, people, there are horses on the freeway. If you're heading on 78 East, heading out towards Stone Mountain, leaving Decatur, right around Valley Brook Road, the horses exited Little Creek Farm. On Orion Drive, they made their way across Valley Brook and then headed up to Highway 78. On 78, they went about 2.5 miles, made it as far as Brockett Road before the group of farm workers, owners, trainers, and lesson students literally hit the road to bring the horses home. And the police were on the scene. It is a traffic nightmare as they're bringing in horse trailers and trying to make their way to loading the horses back up. So 78 eastbound is completely shut down if you are on the way out to Stone Mountain or heading out to Snellville or even South Carolina, you're screwed.
Now, would you put this "you're screwed" in there at the end when you were on the radio?
You know me, right? Of course I did.
Well, you know, you're still good at that. You know, if you ever lose this gig, you can always just do that in Phoenix.
You know what? It's so funny. I actually, before I got the job here at the Horse Radio Network, I worked at one of the country stations, and I started familiarizing myself with the city streets so then I could go be a traffic reporter because that's a solid gig that I understand. So I actually got an interview at the traffic center and I got in my car and it took me an hour and a half to get there. Okay. Hour and a half to get to the traffic place.
Were you late for the interview?
No, I mean, it was a mess. So I get there. I'm not late. I was like, you know, I knew it was going to be really far away. Get there, go in. They make me do some traffic reports of stuff going on in the city right now using the live screens that we all use. And I did traffic reports and they were like, oh my gosh, you really get it. You really understand what it's like to be a traffic reporter. I'm like, I've done 10 years in a city four times as big as this. I get traffic. I can do it. Okay, we would like to hire you. And I'm like, great. So what's the gig? All right, well, we need you to come in at 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the morning and then come back from 3 to 7, which is called the split shift in the traffic world. And I was like, wait. I live an hour and a half from here, but that was not the point. We need you to come to do the split shift and we can pay you $9.75 an hour.
Whoa.
I was like, what?
And you had just come from Atlanta making big bucks.
I was like, I'm sorry. Did you say $9? Okay. All right. If you're going to negotiate, I can get them up to 11. I was like, I'm sorry.
And you know what was great? I came in and offered her 12 and she took it. It's perfect.
You seemed like you were throwing money at me, baby. Like, sticking to the wall. So I'm making it rain up in here with that extra dollar an hour. I was like, thank you for your time. I'll consider that. Thanks.
Did they know what you were making in Atlanta?
Well, it's not even that. It's just like, I lived an hour and a half away and I was going to do that. And I even said, I was like, okay, can maybe we put a ISD in lines? Like, in my house, we can set it up. Oh gosh, no, we can't do that. I was like, they did that in Atlanta.
Yeah, you can do that now.
Radio show in Atlanta.
You can do that
now. You don't have to drive to work. Look, wait, hold on. Am I doing a radio show right now from my house?
Yeah,
yes, I am. And there's where that extra dollar paid off, Glenn, because it wasn't just the extra dollar. It was working from home.
Jemmy just texted, by the way, and wanted to know if we were drunk this morning.
Yes, possibly. Do you know how much beer I have left over from this 150 people at your house?
I got to talk about that. So I saw the pictures, and Chad had his retirement, 23 years in the Air Force?
21
years. And, of course, F-16 fighter pilot for a lot of that. And he did his final flight. And so what was that like for him?
For him, it was the flight was awesome because he worked out. This is something that never happens. But when you've been, he's been at Luke Air Force Base for 11 and a half years.
That's unheard of. Any military staying at any base for that long.
It is. He joined the reserves in like 2009. I mean, it's crazy that he's been here that long. And he was stationed here before that too. And then at the beginning of his career. So collectively, I think 14 of his years have been here at Luke. So when it's your Finney flight and you've been here that long, kind of get what you want. So he actually, we're watching him take off and I'm with his mom who is sobbing uncontrollably and his whole entire family. We're at the end of the runway and he flew for the Taiwanese Air Force. So they're taking off and one plane goes and he's the first plane. So we were all like, oh my God. And the guy was like, watch this, because he's doing an unprecedented takeoff, which is to go really, really, really low. And then when he gets out in front of us, he's going to go vertical climb for like 10,000 feet.
Oh, the straight up thing? Straight up. Kicks in the afterburners and it makes all the noise?
Exactly. So he is really low right in front of us and then veers straight up and blasts off. And then the next plane comes and it's an F-35. Glenn. So F-16, F-35, then there was an F-16, there was an F-35, and then there was another F-35. So for his last flight, he got to go. And for those who don't understand what airplanes are, these are the bazillion dollar ones that the government just kind of got to the U.S.
Oh, they're the brand new ones.
Yeah, they're brand new. And the technology is crazy. And he got to go fight. He and his friend got to go fight three of his friends that were flying the F-35.
They did a dogfight?
They did. They did some low-level flying and dogfight and all that. I don't know what. I'm probably saying classified information.
Well, it was over people's heads. I mean.
Everybody saw it. Yeah. So he got to go do that, and it was just awesome. And the four guys that were in his Finney flight are just lifelong friends, you know. So it was really, really a neat experience for him. And then we were all waiting for him to taxi back in and park. So we watched him circle around, and then we watched him land and then taxi in. And he said that he was cool up until the last landing. He got a little bit like emotional, you know, and then he said taxiing in and seeing all of the people, because like I said, he's been here a long time. There was not just a couple people to watch his Finney flight. There was like 100+ dudes, fighter pilots that were there and all his family. And he said taxiing up was really, that's where he really got choked up. We haven't really had time to process this because, like I said, we've had people here up until last night. So he's going to wake up this morning with no work to do. He's like, last night you said that. I was like, he's like, I don't even have to check the schedule. Because usually Sunday night, check the schedule.
Because he doesn't start his American Airlines job for a while.
For about a month, yeah. So he has to kind of retrain for that. So he's
got to decompress. He's going to have a decompression time here.
We're going to have to take a vacation.
Yeah. I think Glenn's going to go nuts.
I need some day off. Some days off. So he pulled in, and what they do for fighter pilots on their last flight is they basically grab them and humiliate. So I had a rule. I said to all the pilots that were out there, I'm like, listen, boys, I know what you're going to do to my husband, but let me tell you something. I'm going first, and I am going to, when they put that ladder on that plane, I am going to run up that plane and I'm going to take a picture and give him a kiss while he's still in the plane. Then my son is going to come up and he's going to climb in the jet with him. And there's going to be three of us in the jet. And then we're going to take some pictures, and then I'm going to climb down. And then he's yours.
And he's all yours. Did they wait?
He's all yours. They did.
Yeah, because you're scary.
I'll scare them. They are definitely scared of me. Like, especially when you address 100 fighter pilots. Listen, boys. I don't have time for this.
You're the crazy horse girl. Nobody wants to fool around with the crazy horse girl.
Yeah, they're all like, oh God, here she comes. Okay, so then as soon as he's up in the jet, and then he takes out, gives somebody his cell phone, gives somebody his watch, gives somebody his vital paperwork and things like that, and hands it off to one of the guys, and they take it away. And then he resigned, climbs down the ladder, and he goes, okay, guys, okay. And then he jumps off the ladder and sprints. Like, leave, he's out of here. And they catch him within about 4 feet and wrestle him to the ground. And then they duct tape his legs together. And then they duct tape his hands together. And then they smear him in an American squadron. They duct tape you to the bottom of the wing. They wrap duct tape.
Really?
So, yeah, but they don't do that in with this squadron. They just then smother you in shaving cream, champagne, and water. And they spray you with water. So Lucas was given the task of spraying.
Oh, I bet you he hated that job.
Oh, he was laughing. It was so funny.
Oh, it's Bert and Daddy.
And then we took pictures, and then we moved on. And then the next day was the retirement ceremony, and that was really amazing.
Because his dad got to do that for him, right?
His dad did the invocation and then, like, retired him because he had also signed him in, you know, swore him in. And then we had some friends talk about him, and I had to go up on stage and accept
something.
Were
you a mushy mess? You cry at everything.
I had to pin a pin on him. Well, they make it funny because they like to embarrass, you know, so I'm like emotional and I come up there and they're like, oh, we can't find the pin. You know, I was like a big, you know, they liked it anyway. So it was good. And then we had the party, and then, oh my gosh, 150 people here. So I wanted to also give a daily Winnie to Chili, who did pony rides for 2.5 hours.
Oh my God. Poor Chili.
And Abby, who I hired.
Did Chili do a lot of this?
No, he was pretty, he's wore out from the floor out. Like, he is done. He's still tired.
He's like 80 years old.
I know. Which made him the perfect pony ride pony.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you guys had a good time. And is all the family still there, or have they all vacated?
They've all left as of yesterday. And I did want to say, you know, I still think that some of the Atlanta in me comes out a lot of times when things happen. Like, you have a party with 150 people. Okay. Now, mind you, these are like the best of the best, right? These are like really great, upstanding people. And still, and there's lots of drinking and everything. And I still, at the end of the party, I was like, man, that was a good party. Not one person got in a fight. Like, how do we have that many people and nobody got in a fight?
How did we have my friends and nobody got in a fight?
Nobody got in a fight at all. So I'm like, all that drinking, and like, people were singing songs at the end, not fighting.
You are from Atlanta.
I am. And it was great.
Well, congratulate him for all of us. And thank him for his service.
I will.
And now he gets to fly our asses around in a bigger jet.
Yep.
Yep. So there's
much.
That.
Pretty much.
There's that. We'll see how much he likes
someday,
that better than
I might actually get to fly with him someday, which is amazing. Hey, I did want to mention to the hilarious auditors that sent, I posted a picture of on my page of Chad and the guys that were doing the Finny flight with him. And the one of the girls, I'm looking for this post right now because it was so dang funny. She was like, is it a requirement? Because it was Chad and four other fighter pilots standing in front of the jet. You like the picture of them about to leave. And not to be whatever, but these are five really good looking dudes. Like, they're not just like good fighter pilots. They're really, really attractive guys. And of course, we had Stephanie who posts in, hey, is it a requirement that fighter pilots are all hot? Like, and where can I meet one, or where can you meet one? I'm asking for a friend.
Didn't she ever see Top Gun?
Yeah.
Apparently it's a requirement.
This conversation goes on until like there's a lot of people like, okay, now I need to Google, you know, somebody was like, you need to go find a military base. You know, that's where people, these guys are. And she's like Googling military base. And all these girls commented on how hot they were. Well, I just wanted you guys to know that I read that to about 25 different fighter pilots, and they all thought it was awesome.
They all thought that was pretty good, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Because we know fighter pilots don't have egos either.
Well, that was my friend Jessie was like, she's like, really, you don't need to make him feel any better. She goes, nobody loves him more than himself, okay?
And back to the movie Top Gun.
Yeah. She's like, they already know. They don't.
Well, congratulations. And I'm looking forward to him having a month off to decompress and bug you.
Yep. Exactly. One of the women was like, hey, I said, how is it? Because her husband retired a year ago. She's like, they're home a lot. Okay. Good to know.
You better get that honey-do list and make it really long.
Yep.
Keep him busy. Well,
he turned on irrigation at 3:15 in the morning. He's like, who's going to do it? I'm like, you're not working. You do it.
You were up early, though. I saw you posting at about 2 in the morning. Coming up this week on Friday, we start our Road to the Horse coverage. Jennifer drives up there on Wednesday. Jennifer and Tara Carter, who do our Western episode here every month, are going to be providing the coverage. And you can find all the details. Go to horseradionetwork.com. There's a banner at the top right corner of the page, or you can go to horseradionetwork.com/roadtothehorse. We're going to be doing a show live Friday morning, Saturday morning at 9 a.m. like usual here on Horses in the Morning, and then Sunday, 11:30 to 3:30 is going to be the live coverage that Jennifer and Tara will bring you, and we'll also be putting them out as podcasts here on the Horses in the Morning feed immediately after. Now, apparently, there is no live webcast this year, video webcast of Road to the Horse, so we are the only way you're going to hear live, other than Facebook posts on their page, but the only play-by-play you're going to get is here at Horses in the Morning on Sunday. So keep that in mind and definitely tune in. Tara's going to be lining up a whole bunch of help to do that coverage also on Sunday. So they'll have a lot of guests like we always do. So if you like listening to it and you're not going to have a way to watch it, so you might as well tune in. Just go to horseradionetwork.com and follow the link there on the homepage. It's brought to you by Horseware is our title sponsor, and Cashel Products is helping us provide that coverage to you this year. And of course, today we're brought to you by Omega Alpha.
Absolutely, we are. And Omega Alpha, it's the time of year where we've got to start thinking about the whole horse. And so what I wanted to talk about today is Healthy Horse. So Healthy Horse is a combination of their four of their best-selling products. The Hemex, which is regulates the blood and helps the red blood cells, stimulates blood cell formation from the bone marrow without. That's Hemex. And there's the Immune Plus, which will stimulate the horse's immune system and help decrease illness caused by virus and bacteria. Then we've got Lung Flush, that cleanses and supports the lungs. It's kind of a detoxifier. And Liver Flush. And that, obviously, you guys know that the liver just cleans the whole entire body. So this is It's called Healthy Horse, and it's a combination of all of these, and it is best used as a preventative. It's also really good for horses that travel regularly or move from a stable to another stable. I know that Glenn took his horses out. Jen took their horses out. Jen, you took your horse out 2 times over the weekend. So this is something that you do definitely guys want to check out at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
What's it called again?
Healthy Horse. Okay. It is awesome. I mean, it's like from nose to tail, gets them sorted out, figured out, gets their blood and their liver and their lungs and their immune system boosted. So this is something that I like to do every spring. And if I'm competing a lot in the fall, summer, we don't do that much here, obviously. So spring and fall. And by the way, did you know, Glenn, I have a horse trial this weekend?
No, I didn't.
This coming weekend is Zeus's first novice.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, hashtag lifetime goal gonna come true this weekend. So anyway, there it is. So Healthy Horse is something you definitely want to check out, especially I know some of you have moved stables recently. You know, get your horse's immune system boosted, get everything working well. It's called Healthy Horse, and it's like a liquid, and you do 10 cc's daily for 21 days, then you stop for a week, and then you do it again. That's it. That's all you need to do. It's not something they need to stay on forever. It just gets them going. And 10 cc's is like, I'm sorry, 100 cc's daily for 21 days. And it comes in this big, like, giant gallon jug. So it's cool. So check it out, OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Very good. Well, we have a return guest. She's been on the show several times before. Her name is Christy Schulte and has a new last name, I think. So we talked to her. I don't know. Is it Kappert, Christy?
Yes, I've added another German name to my already.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're sticking with the German thing there. Christy has been on our show many times and is coming on to talk to us about something that is fascinating and I was reading about this morning. Christy, therighthorse.org, what is it?
Yes, so the Right Horse Initiative is a collective, and we're a group of equine industry and welfare professionals who are trying to massively increase the number of horses adopted every year in this country. That's our overarching goal.
Well, it's a goal that needs to be done. So I'm glad that you're working on it. So I assume this is going to be done in an organized fashion, because one of the biggest problems with people adopting horses from most horse adoption places is the horses aren't real well trained, a lot of them, or haven't been touched in forever. And, you know, a lot of people like me would not be qualified to take one of those horses in.
Yeah, so we have over 36 partners across the country now, and those range from industry partners like American Association of Equine Practitioners, Unwanted Horse Coalition, Time to Ride, who we all know and love, and then we also have a really great group of amazing adoption partners. So we don't do any direct adoptions ourselves. We don't have any. The Right Horse does not operate any facilities that have horses. We work with adoption partners who do that full time, and they provide all of the rehab, retraining, preparation for new homes that these horses need. And you're absolutely right. One of the biggest hurdles to a horse in transition finding a new home is training. And so actually a number of our the programs that we've supported so far really focus on that training, as far as one of the biggest things that if we can help a horse get good solid training, we can get him into a new home faster and also help him stay in that new home and be a more successful adoption. So training is absolutely a big part of that. And I think also one of the really key points about these horses in transition is a lot of horses actually have more training and more background than people think. There are certainly horses that come into adoption groups and rescues with very minimal background, but of huge percentage of these horses have great history and great background being a riding horse or lesson horse or kid's horse. And sometimes it's just uncovering, you know, what did that horse do? What does he know? And a lot of times when they get started in these training programs, they find out they do have more of a good solid foundation than maybe they appeared to at the beginning, which is always nice to see.
Now, and you're doing the train, you know, another problem with a lot of the rescue centers is they don't have a lot of money and they can't afford to send them out for training. And as I understand it, you're trying through your network to set up some regional training hubs.
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely a big part of it. And you're one of the most exciting programs, which is very near and dear to my heart as a Colorado State University alum. Go Rams. Is a the
go Rams. A
sort of, yeah, go Rams. It's a program that's working together with a couple different groups. So out in Denver, there's a really great group called the Harmony Equine Center, which is part of the Denver Dumb Friends League.
Yep.
And they're working with the CSU Equine Undergrad Program and also working with CHA, who I know are great friends of yours.
Yep.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, Christy.
And so what happens is Harmony will do the intake of these horses, a rescue horse, either from law enforcement seizures or another rescue in the area, wherever the horse may be originating from. And they'll evaluate the horse, make sure he's healthy and physically able to be ridden. And then they'll send him up to CSU, where the undergrads will take a semester or two doing really in-depth training. That horse will get a lot of one-on-one time. They'll do under saddle training, groundwork if needed, and then also get them ready to go be a lesson horse or work in a therapeutic riding program. And then that horse will become available to a CHA instructor in the region out there. So that's really exciting. It's really a win-win-win. It's great for the horse because he's getting a new vocation, a new occupation, and that's, I mean, how in demand are those good lesson horses? Those guys are priceless, right?
Right. And you can't ever find one. You want to buy them because nobody sells them. They keep them forever.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're never for sale because people need them forever. And the CSU students are getting some really great hands-on experience with that. Not only training a horse, but figuring out how do I give this horse some skills that are really going to make him marketable. And then of course the instructor gets a new wonderful horse that they know this horse's background now. I think that's a big hurdle for people running a lesson program is maybe they would like to try adopting a horse, but they really need to know that this horse has a good solid background in the skills they need him to do. And so this kind of takes that guesswork out of the equation. So, and of course it helps Harmony adopt more horses out. So it's really, that one's been really fun to, I believe they have the first couple horses in there this semester.
Do you see that as a possibility across the country with different places?
Absolutely. So a big part of what we do with the Right Horse is we're a relatively new initiative in this, in the equine world. And what we're doing with all these programs is piloting them in different areas and looking at what's working, what do we see that is really innovative and very effective. We're all about innovation. If you hang around, you'll hear that word. Innovation and collaboration are super, super important. So we're looking at what are these efforts that are bringing different groups together that you maybe wouldn't have thought of working together in the past, like those three, and then seeing what worked, what didn't work, where can we replicate this? Because wouldn't it be cool if we had a program like this all over the country where a CHA instructor at any time could say, man, I really need a new horse for summer camp. Let me go to my local adoption facility and see what they've got available and have these kinds of horses ready and available. And that would really help help us change the stigma about what a horse in transition is and how valuable and how much life they have left in them to be a really valued and loved and adored part of the horse world. So we definitely are looking at programs like this to see kind of what shakes out as the best options to help increase and improve options and welfare for horses in transition and then help it become big all across the country.
Well, that's a noble effort because after the recession happened, several years ago, we saw a huge increase. We saw every rescue became full or over full. And the thing is, we keep seeing that. We see every horse story that's in the news around the world comes across our desk every day. And most of it's depressing, Christine. I mean, it's one rescue after another rescue after these 20 horses taken from this farm. It doesn't seem to have decreased, even though the recession seems to be over. It doesn't seem to, these places are still full.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. And you're absolutely right. It's really a big hurdle. And that's why our focus is so heavily on adoption, because rescuing the horse is only the first step. And then you've got to figure out what is this horse's background? What is he good at? What are his physical capabilities? And how can I help this horse get into his new home? It's all about that getting him from the transition into his next owner's home. And we know that horses are, they're not like dogs and cats. You know, most of us who own dogs and cats plan to have those animals for the rest of their lives, unless something catastrophically goes wrong. And it just doesn't always work the same with horses. We think that horses have an average of 6 to 7 owners in their lifetime. And that's okay. That's not because people are not treating their horses well. It's just because different horses are the right horse for that person at a different time in their life. And that may change. You know, I think as we all go through the different stages of our horse lives, we want different levels of energy and have different goals and that kind of stuff. And so it's all about, you know, helping those rescues that open up, make sure that they're focusing on adoption. What are they doing to help make these horses more adoptable? How can we help them market those horses better? One of our big initiatives really is kind of reframing the conversation around equine welfare and saying, what is a horse in transition? And why is that something that I should consider as my next real great prospect for when I want to bring a horse home, that a horse in transition out there is the right thing for me? Because there is a lot of stigma about rescue horses being sometimes older, a lot of times lame. You know, you see all these sad stories of a horse that has really had some physical troubles or maybe been severely neglected. And there's just so many of them that are athletic and young and healthy and wonderful and have a lot to offer. So a lot of it is, again, that training is a huge part of it, but a lot of it is helping change the public perception of what a horse in transition is. And I think if you would look at some of our adoption partners and the horses they have available, I mean, I have to stop myself every time I go on a site visit from like filling out an application and trying to bring one home myself.
Jamie would never be allowed to help you guys. She
wouldn't do it.
No, she's not allowed to help.
I would say you just have to tie my hands behind my back if I get too friendly with one of them.
Jamie, you are never allowed to help the Right Horse Initiative, ever. I'm putting my foot down for your husband.
What if I could be like a satellite facility?
Yeah, okay, yeah, good. We also don't let her foster anything. Nothing. She's not allowed to foster anything. She's not allowed to foster a goldfish. Yeah. Nothing. She fails.
That could be a very slippery slope. Yeah, that definitely can.
How is your funding coming about? Who started the Right Horse Initiative?
Yeah, sure. So we're a part of the Watershed Animal Fund, and Watershed also does work in the small animal, the dog and cat welfare world. And so Watershed is actually part of the overall Arnall Family Foundation. And our trustee has a really, really big heart for animals, obviously dogs and cats and particularly horses. And the overall foundation also does some work in criminal justice reform and children's welfare. So there's a lot going on. And we have a really amazing, small but mighty team. And what's interesting, I think what makes the Right Horse different is when our leadership got started, like I said, we're a pretty new initiative. We just celebrated our first anniversary in January of the Right Horse being a public initiative. And so when we got started, really it was long before my time with the Right Horse, our leadership spent about a year and a half, maybe two, just doing a really deep dive into what does the equine welfare landscape look like? What's out there? Because they had a really great background and history in dog and cat welfare, but didn't really have quite the handle on what was out there in the equine world. And they found there was really not a lot. Like you mentioned, there are a lot of small and medium-sized rescues out there, but there wasn't really a lot of cohesiveness. Groups don't necessarily work together. There's a lot of, there are many different issues that are very divisive. There's a lot of kind of divisiveness among these groups. And so therefore there wasn't really a collective direction where everybody was moving together. And that was kind of what changed everything for dogs and cats about 20, 25 years ago, was these groups having a vision to work together, be collaborative and be innovative. And so it's really, really important for us to work with groups who are very collaborative, who are willing to learn what works, are willing to tell us, because we know that we don't know everything, but we're learning as fast as we can and figuring out what are these best practices. So to work together, to try new things, to really step outside the box and figure out, you know, what's been done for horses up to this point is not nearly enough. It's a drop in the bucket in the tens or hundreds of thousands of horses. And that's another question that we have, is even one of our projects is a data initiative that we're working on, a coalition with the couple other groups, the Unwanted Horse Coalition, AEP Foundation, ASPCA, just trying to even figure out how many horses are there in rescues across the country? How many rescues are there? How many horses are in need of a humane transition every year? And to even have that baseline to go off of.
Yeah, we have no idea.
That's. And it's really hard to, that's really important to knowing that our programs are making a difference. So working together and coming from that background of really doing so much research into what's out there, working together with the industry is really, really key for the right horse. So I think that's what has made it so exciting and successful so far. I think that's what's going to make the biggest difference moving forward.
Well, Christy, I'm glad you're involved. I think you being involved in this gives me a great deal of confidence. It's called therighthorse.org. That's where you can find out all the information over there and see what's going on. Christy, keep us in touch. Keep in touch with us as you go along, and let's keep talking and seeing if we can help in some way as well.
I absolutely will, and I'll be at Road of the Horse next weekend, so
yay!
I'll come say hi to you guys.
Yeah, Jennifer will be there,
yay!
And Tara Carter will be there, so yeah, definitely stop by.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. It was great to catch up with you guys, and I'll see you soon.
All right, thanks, Christy. And that is therighthorse.org. Geez, if you take the number of horses that are in rescues here, add them to the number of horses that are in holding pens, you know, and can we trust the BLM? Can we trust the BLM numbers there? Probably not. But, you know, add those two together, and it's got to be in the, she's right, it's got to be in the hundreds of thousands. It definitely has to be. So I'm glad that there's somebody like this that's got some funding behind them to actually do something about it. So
yeah,
good for them. Well, let's take a break for one of our sponsors. We're going to do a song, and then we're going to go back. Jennifer's going to tell us a little bit about her adventure over the weekend with Nigel over at Lynn Palm's place. And then we have Leslie coming up. We have a lot more show for you coming up today. Yes, we're going to talk about horses. I know we didn't talk a lot about horses first half hour, but I don't care. I had fun.
Talked about horses.
I know. We did.
Epona takes great pleasure in bringing you products that are healthy, sustainable, and a welcome addition to the provisions of your barn. The wood curry brush, for example. Wood curry, tell me true. What's the magic that you do? I curry and I comb with lots of finesse, so your manes and your tails will show no mess. I rid your coat of shedding dirty hair to make it gleam and give it flair. My massage will calm, as you're sure to notice, bringing you sweet dreams of green pastures and prairie lotus.
There's a space I can reach across when I try. My heart gets lost in your hold back. Your mind, there's a wall that you hide behind. Won't you tear it down like I would for you? Come on and show me. No shore inside, would you?
that was Tiffany de Rose. I don't know how she hasn't become mainstream with a voice like that. I really don't.
Yeah, she's so good.
I know. Like I Would For You is the name of the song. You can find all of her music. Just look up Tiffany de Rose and you'll find all of her terrific music. She has a lot of songs out. Well, it is time. Well, Jennifer's going to talk a little bit here, and then I think she has to bail out on us. So, but she took Nigel out and had a little bit of fun with him on Saturday, in addition to going riding on Sunday. So what did you do?
We went over to Lynn Palm's Fox Grove Farm, which is about a 15-minute drive from us, so it's really convenient. And she has this one of those lovely extreme trail courses or mountain trail courses that everybody sees the videos of online. So it's a trail course and an obstacle course, but it's all made of natural materials. So there's no pool noodles.
Okay. It's a good. Those are the ones that I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, this is just all natural.
It's not pretty in your backyard, you know?
Yeah, it's not pretty in your backyard. And for us, pool noodles don't bother him.
So what bothers bushes. Him the most?
Natural things.
Natural things. Well, what tends to happen is when we go away from home, things that he doesn't expect. Anytime there's a sudden change in anything, change in footing, change in from open to trees and back to open, critters, just he's
does
just
he
not
spook?
Confident.
Does he bolt? Does he spin? What does he do?
Generally speaking, if we're walking, he just freezes. And that's one of the things we've been working on a lot is he freezes. And then his little heart is pounding under my calf. And that is preceded by a rocket ship launch in some direction. Never know which one. So we've been working a lot on seeing things that are new and startling and scary and dealing with them in a little bit more rider-friendly fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. Why I went over and did it. I wanted to get him around things that he didn't want to have to deal with. If I don't look at it, it's not there.
Yeah.
In a reasonably controlled fashion so that I could say, yes, you can move your feet, but you can move your feet and not be running 90 miles an hour when you do it.
You got to think through things as opposed to just react.
Yes. And that's his thing. He's a reactor. And whenever he goes away from home, he tends to be pretty amped up. The ears go up, and when he gets out of the horse trailer, he's like the racehorse in the post parade. He's sweating and his buggy eyed and all that kind of thing. He's a washer outer. So we went over and did that, and there were about probably 25 or 30 horses there. So it was a pretty busy atmosphere, which is great for him. He really needs to be exposed to that because he's so easily overwhelmed.
And they have little bridges and water. Zeus would love it, probably. I think it was a great
deal. My gosh. That'd be like his best day
his
ever.
His playpen, yeah.
Yeah, playground. So first we had to get past the trophy table because there was a horse show the next day and they had all the trophies and the ribbons put out. It was all pretty and sparkly and shiny. And we had to snort at that several times. And now he's got this thing now because he'll touch things that are a little bit scary, but he touches them pretty hard. So then that knocks them over and that creates a whole new thing to be scared of.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sounds about right.
That's about right. So I found that most of the things in there, we just did it on the ground because I didn't want to be that girl. There were a lot of people there with green horses and a lot of green riders that were working on their confidence. So I didn't want to be the one bolting across.
So do people lead their horses through this or do they ride them through it typically?
Both. And then a competition the next day, they have what they call the agility classes, which is in hand. And then they have the ridden classes.
God, that sounds awful to me leading. I would be so much more out of control trying to lead a horse over that. I would feel, you know, like, don't step on me. I think I still have PTSD from Zara running over me. So,
yeah, see.
But so he, how did he do? I mean, the problem with leading them is you can't get them quite as tired, you know? Like, I find that taking a horse, getting a horse like him with that, we
I
land
found
somewhere
tired
new.
Yet.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying.
He doesn't get tired very well at any time.
No. You land somewhere new and then the racehorse comes out and then it's just getting them every time you go somewhere, getting them to where they've worked really, really, really hard. That's the only problem with leading them around is it's not quite as easy to work them very, very hard and have basically being calm, getting off the trailer, a better idea because they know it's going to be a lot of work.
Well, so far, he's gotten to 3.5 hours and not tired yet. So I'm going to have to get more fit.
Well, you know, you're looking at doing an endurance ride, and maybe you ought to consider the 25 mile instead of the 10 mile.
Maybe I should, instead of the 10 mile. 10, I should. 10
mile. That might be a better plan. Well,
he went over all the stuff pretty good, or?
Yeah, the most challenging being they have the little wooden bridges that they always have on trail courses.
Uh-huh.
And I stuck with the one that's on the ground, not the big trellis one. Because one of the things that we have a problem with is once we get to some place that's to the point, okay, I cannot handle this anymore, he will go backwards at 90 miles an hour. But I don't want to do that in the middle of a trestle bridge that's 3.5 feet wide. So I didn't do that.
So do you have a bridle on him? Do you have a dually halter? What do you?
He was wearing his dually.
His dually, okay.
He's wearing his dually. I tried something different today. I'm trying to think outside the box and be better at training him. So we went to the foot bridges, which I knew would be the tough ones. And he got to the point pretty quickly that he would just jump back and forth over it. It's like, okay, I can jump over it, but I can't touch it with my feet. So we did that a few times. And then we just went over to some other obstacle that he found less challenging. And then we'd come back and we jump over it back and forth. Okay, let's not try, instead of jumping, let's step over it. So we did that. And then we would go away from that. So I was trying to take the pressure away from him mentally, do something that was a little bit easier. And we did that about 6 times. And then some of the times when I would go back to the footbridge, I wouldn't ask him to do any more than the last time. I would do exactly the same as the last time. So each time he approached the footbridge, it wasn't a case of, oh, she's going to make me do something even harder at this footbridge. Sometimes it was like, oh, no, all you have to do is jump over it and we're going away, to help him be more confident of the fact that every time I see this item, it's going to be hard for me. Sometimes it's going to be easy. All I have to do is what I did last time. And that worked out really, really well. And by the time I was finished, I was out there for about 1.5 hours. I was way more tired than he was. Physically, he was a foamy mess. He was sweaty, foam between his legs. And we were being led because he's just so keyed up. He walked the length of the footbridges. And the really funny part is, there was one big long footbridge that we practiced on, and then I discovered a much smaller one on the opposite end of the course. The first time I took him up to that one, he strolled right across it like he'd done it his whole life, just to embarrass me. So there we go.
Bad boy.
So very successful in that. I think we really made some progress in when there's something that is uncomfortable, you don't have to have the freeze and bolt thing. You can move your feet and move your feet slowly and thoughtfully, because typical thoroughbred, he's not a good thinker at first. It takes time.
Well, so I'm glad you got things done and better. And Jen, good for you for just keeping at it, because this is exactly what he needs. Just get out and do stuff.
Get out and do it.
And then eventually he's just going to go, okay, well, hell. But there's something that's going to happen. He's going to step off the trailer. All of a sudden, he's going to go, God.
Again. Yes, that's exactly it. Oh, gosh.
This is going to be a lot of work. Here we go. I might as well start to conserve my energy, because I'm just going to get tired.
Yeah.
We hope for that day.
It'll happen. You can do it. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Although two days in a row going for trailer rides, I need to get him on some Gastro FX. He was going off his feet and looking pretty wilted.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jennifer. Appreciate
it.
Jennifer's going to bug out here. She's got some other things she has to get done this morning in preparation for Road to the Horse. So I brought Leslie on. Leslie Wiley from Horse and Eventing Nation is back. She's not at the doctor today. Are you here, Leslie?
I am.
Yay.
Hello. How are you, my dear?
I'm good. Yeah, sorry I missed last week.
When you wrote to us and said, I got a doctor's appointment at 8:30, I should be home, I went, she's not even going to be out of the office till we get our show.
Yeah, but trust me, it was an appointment with a gynecologist, and I definitely would much rather have been on hers in the morning. So
Glenn just put his hands through his ears and la la la.
I thought she was going to go further with that, and I'm glad she didn't. Oh, no. Hey, Leslie.
So, Leslie, how is your pap smear?
Yeah.
Good? Is your cervix okay? Are we good?
All right. Let's cut that off. All right, Leslie, do you mind? We're about to start questioning first world problems, and I thought you'd get a kick out of this. So you want to do that first? All right.
First world problem. Let me start out by saying, if you have an equestrian first world problem or an equestrian problem, it's first world. There's just no way around it. That's where we live, people. So these are submitted by our auditors. I on Sunday nights, or in this case, in the middle of the night, Monday morning, I post, I need your first world problems. What happened over the weekend? Is there a possible way that life has been so hard and you have a problem and you have to tell me about it? Well, of course they come through. I mean, it takes 10 minutes to get a full show's worth of first world problems. And I also get messages throughout the week. So you can send them to me on Facebook or jamie@horseradionetwork.com. And these are those problems, Leslie. And I feel like we need to just slow down and start to appreciate just how hard everybody's life is. Okay.
Of course.
I mean, especially Alexandra, this is really sad. I found too many horses that I wanted on my trip to Germany. So now I have backups for my backup horses.
Amazing.
Stephanie says the new barn is not heated. I guess she just moved into a new barn. The new barn is not heated and the indoor is so small and it's not attached to the bathroom. Okay. And my horse is happy, but it is just not comfortable for me. Sorry.
Whatever happened to peeing in the stall anyway?
That's what I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Cecilia says, I went to purchase some Vienna reins and then I remembered that my surcingle broke. So then I had to add one of those. And then I figured since I was already getting free shipping, I should get another fly sheet. And now I don't want to spend the amount I see in my cart, but I want everything.
And if it's one of our sponsors, we're proud of you and happy to have you buy it. So
Kayla says, my Borders horse peed like a billion times in the same spot in the stall. And now there's like a giant pee puddle that I have to try to clean out of his stall.
Smelly pee puddles are the worst too.
Ugh. We have to just bring dirt in. Yeah, to where right. You just dig it out. There's a big hole. throw some of those, the little pellets that turn into wood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Soak it up. Leslie, you can always comment on any of these if anything here really rings a bell to you, like shopping in Europe, things like that. Yeah. Lisa says that
Leslie's going over this weekend, right? You're going shopping in Europe for horses this weekend.
Yeah. Most of us are.
Yeah. Her horse nation, she makes a ton of money over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Lisa says, I'm in New Zealand and I really need to clean my float before winter, but I have so many horses, I just don't have time. Okay, so
let's translate that for Americans.
She's got to clean her trailer out and it's about to be winter.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
I know,
Lisa,
it is
you're
weird.
So cool.
It's weird.
Everybody complains about the snow and she's like, oh my God, it's so hot. Kayla says, oh girl, I'm with you here. Okay. Kayla, shedding season has begun. Oh my God. I got hair in my mouth, hair in my nose, hair in my eyeballs. And let me also say here that living in Phoenix, it is super dry and it's very sunny. So you're constantly putting on sunscreen and chapstick. Let me just add to the shedding season, sunscreen and chapstick.
You look like a woolly bear by the time you're done.
And why do I always put chapstick? Because I always put chapstick on before I ride. So then I go out and then I put the chapstick on and it's in my tack room. And then I go out and I get my horse and I start grooming them. I'm like, ah, why every time?
Is Princess every in time? The middle of shedding right now?
Oh, gosh. They're just nightmares. Chili is the worst. It's like it's snowing in my house. It just goes. You don't even have to be brushing him because he's got Cushing's disease. So I'm like, it just like just the wind picks up and it just like this white cloud just goes by.
Do you shave yours, Leslie?
I do. Well, I gave Princess like a little trace clip, but that doesn't, she's still got it. She still accumulates quite a lot of pony fluff.
If ponies ponies seem to grow their hair. Even living here in Florida, Scooter had this long two inch long hair and losing it all at once. And so we finally just shaved him.
Yeah.
Head to toe.
Yeah. Most of my horses are trace clipped, but Chili's not. Chantel, her problem is I'm so over the snow. Okay, that's a real problem.
That's a real problem. Have you seen the pictures from up there? They still have like 2 feet of snow. It's crazy.
Did you see the picture of the two cowboys out riding? And it's like a father and a son. And they're wearing their cowboy hats and they're in the snow. And they're chest deep and you can't even see the horses.
No. So yes, I did see that picture. Was it Photoshop?
Riding, but they're not actually riding. No. They're just standing in the snow, but they're looking like they are. It's pretty funny. Misty says, I keep one of those pedicure multi-tools in my shower, like the brush and the puma stone, the cheese grater and the smooth finish, and they're for my hands. Casey says, I leased a horse from a fellow auditor and none of my saddles fit right.
Oh, I have to buy a new one. That
Send
just
it back.
Sucks.
Yeah. Send the horse back.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Chris says, my horse got put out in a new paddock with an escape artist. So now I have to bring in two horses when I want to ride. God. Ellen says, the one horse property in the county I can afford went on the market Saturday, and I couldn't make the open house, and now it's got 6 offers on it.
God, the market's better now, isn't it?
That's a good first world problem for most.
All right, I think we have time for one more.
Gosh, there's so many good ones. Fine. Okay. Cecilia did... Joy, my gate came off the hook this morning and I can't get it back on. So I had to lead each horse by hand an extra 20 feet to the pasture. Sorry, Joy. Okay. Those are your first world problems, people. Hang in there. We're with you. Leslie Gunn and I are with you.
All right, Leslie, what are we talking about? What's new on Horse Nation?
Well, let's see. Speaking of, snow and the poor folks that still have snow, lest we forget, it is still that season where, we can go back and forth from like beautiful spring weather to like full on blizzard. Kristen wrote this great story, 4 ways equestrians totally jumped the gun on fall spring.
She says, I'm looking at
pump the brakes.
I just got chilled.
I know,
cold.
Like, we've had the most beautiful weekend here in the 70s, sunny, just like dreamy. And then we're supposed to have, and so you think you're just like in the clear, and like all weekend I've just been like, oh, I'm so glad that spring is finally here and like for good. And then I look at the weather forecast this morning and there's supposed to be snow tomorrow night. I'm
no!
like, shit. So, yeah. So there are some surefire things that you can do to delay actual spring and have winter come crashing back in on you, such as if you jump the gun and wash, repair, and put up your blankets.
You can't do that till June.
You cannot do that until June. Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. The minute you do that, like the you'll incur the wrath of the winter gods.
We have a blanket company here that they'll come and pick up your blankets, take them, wash them, repair them, and then like bag them.
Yeah.
And it's almost to the point where I'm like, you guys will freeze before I will open that bag.
Right.
Cost me a lot of money to get that thing bagged up. I don't care how cold you are. Suffer.
Shut up and shake.
Yeah. Let's see. Bathing is another thing that, I think at some point in the winter, you just kind of like find this equilibrium when it comes to horse hygiene. Like they just kind of get perma dirty, but it's not like
perma-dirty.
It's not a dramatic.
You're right. That's a good word, actually.
Dirty. But then, it's just like you get used to it and they're just kind of yellow, like just a faint shade of, brown or, but then you get excited because it's warm out. You give them a bath and for a few minutes they're glittering clean, but then you put them out and then they're even worse than they were before because it rains, the mud comes, you know, the mud, you know, puddles right there.
Mud and comes up and you don't want to be like that jerk horse owner who's like, don't roll, no rolling. Mm-hmm. So you let them roll and then you're like, oh, why did I bother?
Yep. Let's see, starting to think about a spring legging up plan. I feel like the minute I'm like, get real gung-ho about like, okay, we're on the program now, then the, you know, the bad weather rolls back in and then we're just back to square one.
Yeah.
So
you got 3 good days of fitness and then you're off a week.
Yep. Exactly.
So basically all you did was strain your horse's tendon.
Yeah.
That's the thing is like here, it's so funny because I'm trying to get everybody ridden because I'm winding down as far as the riding goes, because it's about to get really, really hot here. And it's so interesting to see everybody's like totally doing opposite things. We may have a couple months where we all get to ride together and then I'm done. I mean, then it's like 5 a.m. One horse gets ridden. That's it. That's it.
So bonkers.
I know. Wow. I know. And then you guys also had a horse to lease for sale. And the picture is hilarious.
Did you guys see this ad? I think it popped up on Facebook last week on the North Georgia Equine Tack and Farm Exchange page.
I did not see this. No.
Can I just like read you some highlights from it?
Please.
It's so funny. Okay. So, casually in search of first horse for teenage boy to lease. That means we're not interested in buying right this very second. Must have. That's not optional. Must have 4 legs that consistently work, even if one or all requires occasional maintenance. Legs ugly as sin, but still work. Sounds great. It must not have potential. I don't want potential. I want been there, done that, maxed out, have the shirt. let's see. Be at least 15 one hands. That's 61 inches at the withers, determined by an object that has increments for inches.
Yeah, don't eyeball that.
No, don't eyeball it. Let's see. Here's things that don't matter. They don't matter to this person, to the buyer. Breed. They don't discriminate. Unless it's gated, they don't want anything graded. Things that don't matter. Color. All horse lives matter. sex. Mare, gelding, trans, whatevs. They say age. We already have the equine cast of grumpy old men at our place, and I hear there is another open role. I don't like baby humans, and I also don't like baby horse brains. The honesty in this ad is just refreshing, right? They close with this. Seriously, though, we're not interested in your 6-year-old 1.5-meter horse that you want to lease out for $10,000 a year. I wish, but not now. I need schoolmaster, broke to death, has maintenance issues, ugly as sin, out of shape. You really don't care about money, but want him to have a great home. Oh, and not across the U.S., the continental U.S. from Georgia, because I only do a 6-hour radius due to sweet tea.
So, that's Georgia.
If anybody out there, you know, has a horse that fits this bill.
I want to buy that horse too.
So yeah.
You want to sell that horse, send your information over here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. And then we got to end on this is because of St. Patty's Day. We didn't even talk about St. Patty's Day because it happened on the weekend, but you did an article there too that was kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like to look up the horse or USEA horse database. You can look up names. So I have a saw sort of like type in a keyword like Irish and see how many horses are registered. And there are over 350 event horses registered in the USEA horse database that have the word Irish in their name.
Really?
They're all actually Irish. Let's see. We got a pony of the Americas named Bailey's Irish Cream.
God, there's got to be a lot of Bailey's Irish Cream ponies in the world, don't you think? There's got to be a lot of those.
We've got some American Mustangs named Irish Joker, Irish Melody, and Lucky Irish.
Irish Blessing, Irish Pearl, Irish Harmony, Tall, Dark, and Irish.
That's a good one. I like that one.
The Hungarian warm blood named Kiss Me, I'm Irish. No, you're not. You're not.
So they're not. People are saying I'm Irish and they're not. I wonder if the horse named Totally Irish is actually Irish.
Yeah. Who even knows? I don't know. I also looked up because, you know, Irish pubs are a great source of inspiration for horse names.
There's a horse named Irish Pub.
Yeah, there's a horse named Irish Pub. There's 33 Guinness. Where's his name? Guinness. Okay. 10 named Jameson. Lots of Killian's Irish Red. Lots of.
Can Bailey's I tell you cream. That if you're taking the tour at the Jameson factory, it's called Jameson.
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 That means Chad you might have taken Jameson. The tour at the Jameson factory.
I remember at least the first half.
I just love these. The one that just really had me scratching my chin was the horse named Irish Elvis.
Let's see. I'm looking at these. We've got Irish Patriot, Absolutely Irish, Irish Turn, Irish Pub, Killian's Irish Red, Irish Treasure, Lucko Irish, Luck of the Irish, Lord Irish, Landmarks Irish, Irish Diamond, Irish Jigs, Noble Irish, Irish Lad. Boy, they can really come
I
up
like
with some
of these too. Guinness on Tap, Pint of Guinness. I hope Pint of Guinness is a pony, don't you? It's got to be a pony, Pint of Guinness.
I hope so. Half Pint of Guinness.
Guinness is good for you. There's a name for a horse.
Yeah. I think it's at some point I actually did a whole story on, is another edition of Event Horse Names, and I looked up horses that were named after alcohol, and they various sorts of alcohol, and and broke them down into like wine, hard liquor, gin and vodka, imports, beer. Beer was my favorite. There were some great beer names. Somebody named their horse Free Beer Tomorrow.
Because we all know eventers don't drink as a group.
Bar tab. Oh, this great name for a draft horse, Miller Genuine Draft.
MGD, baby.
That's pretty good.
So funny.
Yeah. It's down like water.
After all, a lot of the draft groups are sponsored by beer. So that works out pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love it.
Listen, you did a lot of research on this. Now, were you drinking when you were doing the research?
No.
Just checking.
Too many words.
Too many words. Thank you very much for joining us again. And we appreciate you stopping by, Leslie, from Horse Nation and Eventing Nation. We'll see you again next week.
You guys have a good one.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
So over the weekend, we went over on Saturday to the largest and biggest driving show competition in the United States, about 4 miles from our house at Chester Weber's little 4,000-acre farm here in Ocala. And you think you're a little nervous driving that pony of yours? You ought to take a four in hand on a CDE at that 3 and 4 star level.
Let me tell you something that's never going to happen.
That. I'm telling you what, that's craziness. It is just craziness. I posted some videos over. If you go on the 2018 WEG show page, I posted our spotlight driver driving his four in hand through the water obstacle. At Paul May, and he did great. He actually had the fastest time through. But you take those fours, and there's so much that can go wrong. We saw a couple things. One of the things that can go wrong is your front pair gets on either side of a log.
Oh my God!
And then they have to try because the guy in the back can't get out. You know, the guy's riding along in the cart, the navigator and things, and they're not allowed to get out in the obstacles. So they have to try and back them up and get them to turn and get your front pair, you know, cooperating while your back pair's trying not to melt down. And it's just something to watch. But I thought about you as we were watching all of them go through the CDE, and it's a beautiful farm. It's a beautiful day. But it's so much fun to watch that. But it would be not something that Jamie is ever even being on the cart in any position for.
No. And speaking of Precious Magic Olive Jennings, I talked last week about her needing to be rehomed. I've come to the point now where I only have my neighbor's pasture for 12 more days. And
so this pony has to go.
Somebody's got to go. And she's the one who needs to go. And so I basically said, like,
did you put a bad Craigslist ad up?
She is up for adoption. I haven't written the ad yet. I'll write it for Wednesday. And nobody has messaged me. One person has messaged me. She's been to horse shows, people. She jumps cross rails.
And she's 16'2".
She's at least 13'3". She's really grown.
Is she really 13'3"?
She's huge. Probably 13'2", 13'3". I think 13'3".
Which probably means about 12'3" if you do Craigslist terminology.
Yeah, or 17'2". Either way, sometimes they go with bigger. So yeah, no, I'm not one person messaged me about wanting to take her, and so I'm really frustrated with all of you. And I will be expecting messages. I want you guys fighting over. You can own this famous pony. This delight
for your She's child. It's perfect. Where's my green on green sound effect? I don't have it.
She is amazing. Okay?
She's actually pretty well broke now, isn't she?
Yeah, she's actually pretty good now. Yeah. We're going to continue. I'm like a full, like I'm hammered down. Like we're riding every day, sometimes twice. Like Abby, I already rode Magic today. So ride her again. We're going to get this horse trained.
And Abby's got legs. She probably needs roller skates to ride that pony.
Oh, it's so fantastic. I videoed Abby. I'll try to find it. I videoed Abby.
She has to ride bareback. She couldn't use stirrups. They'd be dragging the ground.
Oh my gosh. She said, no, because then you just have to jack him up. And it was right when Magic, I was like, I need you to ride her so I can video you so I can show Monty a video of her bucking. She was like, wait. You want me to ride this pony while it tries to buck me off and you're going to show it to Monty Roberts? She's like, I don't think so. I'm like, get on the horse. Canner, let's go. It was awesome.
And did the pony cooperate? With a buck?
Of course. Yeah, of course. This was a couple months ago. She doesn't buck anymore, you guys. She's amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, why are you bringing this up when we're trying to sell the pony?
Hey, they all start out. They all, believe it or not, your horse probably bucked when it was getting started, just so you know.
Go watch Road to the Horse this weekend. You'll see a little of that.
Yep, exactly.
All right, very good. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Tomorrow is a Certified Horsemanship Association show with Christy and Jennifer doing that one. And then Jamie's back on Wednesday. And then we got Road to the Horse at the end of the week. So we'll look forward to that. I get to stay home and play. I get to push the buttons for a change for Road to the Horse. I think this is our 50th year doing it.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
All right. Anything else, Jamie?
All right. No, that's it. Everybody have a great one. Spay, neuter, and geld.
Claw the day.